This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I wouldn't say that it's hindering anything or anything like that for me personally. I think they're going to, they drop back in these coverages. They're mixing up coverages and things like that. Cause obviously, you know, when you get down now, they're trying to make sure that you don't start coming back and scoring points. And it's something that we've done recently pretty well is, you know, when we get down and we come out of halftime and things like that, scoring points, getting after it. And so I wouldn't put it in that context of it being negative.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's me. That's the show. That's who I'm brought to you by. I got Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass. And you, the star of this show, at 312-644-6767. If you're a caller or if you prefer the text line, either way, works for me. And we're going to get in as many of your thoughts as we can here in the next 3 hours before we make way for the rest of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. That includes DJ Moore joining the guys on the morning show, Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock. That follows Olin Kreutz at 7. And Brad Biggs will be with the guys at 9 a.m. That's all coming up on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We'll hear more from Caleb Williams later. We'll hear from the guys on the postgame show, Mully with Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley. So much more to come. And like I said, you, the star of the show, at 312-644-6767. I had to chuckle there at the end of the Caleb Williams soundbite we heard coming out of the break because he said, I would look at it as a negative, talking about the 56 Saxton season that he's been the victim of and how it's affecting his development as a quarterback at the NFL level. And I know I'm not the only one, but the main thing on my mind, if not the only thing on my mind when watching the Bears now that you know, the season is what it is and there's nothing meaningful to play for this season. I'm watching, and the main thing, if not the only thing on my mind, is the development of Caleb Williams and seeing that guy reach his full potential and not see another quarterback broken by the Chicago Bears organization, as they've done my entire life. And that was one of the things I had in mind as we were sitting here discussing the possibility of firing Matt Eberflus. I remember being here with Hub the day after the Thanksgiving debacle and us pretty sure that Matt Eberflus was going to be fired, but going over the options of like of who it's going to be. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know that there was a good answer if you fired Matt Eberflus for who was going to step up into that interim role. And how much it mattered, but I don't know that there was a good answer. Because, like, everybody on Matt Eberflus's staff could wear a certain degree of the blame for the way that this season had gone. Again, the defense has been disappointing this year. For a defense that talked about being top five, or not top five in anything, that's a disappointment. And so I don't know that I feel great handing the reins over to Eric Washington. Special teams has been a mess this year. I don't feel great about handing the reins over to Richard Hightower. Chris Beatty had a smaller role on this coaching staff than Thomas Brown did to start the season. Shooting him up the ladder to interim head coach just didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But one thing I was really worried about, if it was going to be Thomas Brown replacing Matt Eberflus, was moving him away from Caleb Williams and putting more on his plate than just focus on Caleb Williams and his development. Because, man, the last 3 weeks, while they were losing, since they fired Shane Waldron, the last 3 weeks is the best Caleb Williams looked all season long since Thomas Brown was installed as offensive coordinator. And I didn't want to see that disrupted. I didn't want to see him get all the head coaching duties on his plate so that he's, even if it's, 10% less of the hands-on coaching of Caleb Williams and the benefit that he was getting of that, I didn't want to see that affected. I didn't want to see that hindered by making him the head coach. Because to me, lose all the games you want. I've called, much to the befuddlement of Tyler Farrengill on the other side of the glass, I've called a number of losses this year perfect losses. Like since they've been out of the playoff picture, I got my eye on a playoff spot. And if they can lose I had an eye on a draft pick, and I had an eye on firing Matt Eberflus. So if they could keep losing while keeping the arrow pointing up on Caleb Williams, that's a perfect loss in my mind.
This was not a perfect loss.
No, this was not a perfect loss. This was far from a perfect loss.
F minus 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 loss.
But they could have kept on having perfect losses as long as Caleb Williams kept moving in the right direction. And what I feared, if you made Thomas Brown the head coach, that we would lose the Caleb part of that equation and just get bad losses or losses that don't benefit us in any way whatsoever other than getting a high draft pick. And I don't know if that's what was at play today, but that's the worst we've seen Caleb look. And I know at the end of the day, the numbers don't look terrible. What was he? 17 of 23, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. He didn't have an interception again. Is that 7 straight games without an interception?
He did have that fumble, though, so that snapped. But the interception streak is still pretty
impressive.
Cool, yeah.
And his QB rating was 116.9. A lot of that was in garbage time. A lot of that is the 2 touchdowns to Roma Dunze. This is as bad as he's looked since New England, since they fired Shane Waldron. And I don't know if it is because he didn't have the hands-on experience with Thomas Brown that he's had here the last few weeks, but it is in the back of my head, and it will be in the back of my head for the rest of this season if we don't see Caleb Williams return to that form that we saw the last 2 weeks. Now, maybe just a hiccup, maybe just a blip. There are going to be dips and valleys. We heard Theo Epstein say for years, if you're a Cubs fan, progress is not linear. Development is not linear. We heard the Bears have borrowed that when it comes to Caleb Williams and others. So maybe this is just a dip. Maybe this is just a blip in Caleb Williams' development, and it's got nothing to do with Thomas Brown not being his hands-on offensive coordinator like he has been the last 3 weeks, but it is in the back of my head. And I love Caleb Williams' confidence, but when he says stuff like this, I just don't agree with him. Here he is talking about this season and how it's affected his development.
I wouldn't say that it would affect my development. I think this is a stepping stone of development. To be able to have all of this in my first year, I wouldn't say that I'm happy for it, but having these moments is definitely something that will help me in the future. Having these situational moments that you can't, it's hard to rep in practice. Having some of these moments, having You know, your coach fired, your coach is fired, and people being promoted, and you know, things like that, all happening within, you know, a couple weeks of each other. Yeah, I think it would have helped me in the long run, being able to handle all of this, handle, you know, this first year, and being able to grow from it. I think it is a stepping stone, you know, actually with my development, you know, because I think down the line I'll have, you know, different OCs or different head coaches, you know, whatever the case may be. And so being able to handle it my first year, handle a new playbook, handle all these different changes, handle, you know, all of this, I think it definitely will help the development instead of, you know, hurting it or anything like that. So, yeah.
I get what he's saying, that there are lessons to be learned in hardship and in failure, and he's going to take all this stuff and use it to learn and grow and get better. And that's great. That's how you should approach it. That's the mindset you should have anytime you're trying to get better at something and you're trying to master something the way that Caleb Williams is, because there are going to be mistakes. There are going to be bumps in the road. And yeah, if you can take that and learn from it and get better from it, awesome. But when he says it's not affecting his development and it won't affect his development, I admire his optimism and his confidence. And I'm just going to use this word, his naivete, because he don't know. He does not know what this Bears organization does and has done to quarterbacks. And I've heard from other people, fans, people in the media, who think that Caleb is franchise proof, that the Bears can't screw this guy up. Look how good he's been despite all the turmoil and all the turnover in the Bears organization and all the chaos and dysfunction. Hasn't broken him. He's still having a pretty good rookie season. And he is. Like, considering the circumstances, he is. But enough missteps in his handling, enough losing, enough being in bad locker rooms and organizations that are just devoid of culture. It will, first of all, it has. Like, as good as Caleb Williams looks, he's weeks behind where he could be right now. If he was in a competent organization, playing for a competent coaching staff, he's weeks behind where his development could be right now if this was a better situation for him. And those weeks add up. And if you tack on more weeks in year two that he's behind in his development, and more weeks in year three that he's behind on his development, we're all going to be looking at this dude and going, he was supposed to be better than this. That will happen. No quarterback is franchise proof. And the Bears have to get it right every step along the way with Caleb Williams, or have to get it right as much as they can with Caleb Williams in order for that dude to reach his ceiling, to reach his full potential. And going back to my original point, watching that game today, seeing him have his worst game since the New England game and since Thomas Brown became his hands-on offensive coordinator, it made me wonder if taking Thomas Brown away from Caleb Williams was a mistake, another mistake by this Bears team in developing a young quarterback. Was it a good idea to take Thomas Brown's focus off of Caleb Williams? 312-644-6767. You want to talk about that? Anything I've talked about today? What's just an embarrassing performance for those players that ran out there 10 days after Matt Eberflus was fired? If you want to talk about the culture of this organization, which is getting exposed yet again in this lackluster season, any thoughts you have on the Bears? Again, you're the star of this show. 312-644-6767 is how you can get those things off your chest. This from the 574. You are so right and need to keep saying it. Not a single player went out there saying it's on us. We have nobody else to blame it on. We have to step up and do this right like we have been doing most of the season, at least in the second half. Not a single player, Caleb Williams, all 18 other captains, they have took control saying that the coaches don't play. It's up to us. They sucked from the first second to the last against a team that was over 50% as strong as if everyone was healthy. They had the worst record we have and will see from several games ago until the end. Keep saying it. It's not the coaches. It's the players. Brian in Mishawaka texting again. I didn't say it's not the coaches. I did not say that. Just so we're clear.
That was the entire first hour of the show.
Exactly. I did not say it's not the coaches. Both can be true. And all of that, the fact that you had the wrong coaches and the fact that you don't have players that can set a tone and set a culture and set a certain standard in that locker room, all of that goes to the guy picking those coaches and picking those players in Ryan Poles. That's the pecking order, but never did I say it's not the coaches. Dude, Matt Eberflus is not justified. He's not washed clean of his sins because of the way that the Bears went out and performed today. That's still Matt Eberflus's team that ran out there today. He's the guy who got them ready for the first 13 weeks of the season. You know what I mean? He's the one who set this tone and set these habits and set this culture and set the bar so low for these players. It's both. It's not the coaches. It's both. It's the coaches and the players and the GM and the president and the owners. It's on everybody. Not us as fans. We're good. Alan, who's listening on the Odyssey app in Boca Raton, Florida. You're on 670 The Score. How is it down there in Florida?
Hey, it's pretty nice. And nice. Plus, I got to watch the Bills game today, so that was good.
Nice.
Hey, here's my thing. I've been a Bear fan. I go back to Bobby Douglas and Gary Huff. So I've been watching the Bears. I used to stand at Wrigley Field and watch. It's a long story, but I used to get season passes from George Halas. He used to be able to watch the Bear games standing room only. But anyways, here's the deal. Everyone thinks their offensive players are so great. I mean, every team got talent, you know. But if you really look, if just go in the Bears division, if you just go position on offense, their running back DeAndre Swift wouldn't even be a starter on the Packers, the Vikings, or the Lions. He'd be a third string on the Lions. You could Cole Kmet, he wouldn't be a starter on the Lions. They got Sam Laporta. The Vikings have Hockenson, and then the Packers have Kraft. So, you know, everyone, the Bears offensive players, and then they got their wide receivers. I mean, God, you're going to tell me their wide receivers are better than the Vikings receivers, better than the Lions receivers? Not even close. And then the Packers, they have four, maybe even five receivers who are really good there, just as talented, even better. So everyone's saying, oh, my God, the Bears got this great talent. It's like when a high school American goes to college, he goes on a team like Kentucky. He's just another player. There's a lot of guys that are better. So,
Alan, I remember talent. I'll let you finish your thought, but I just want to give some context to what you're saying. I remember before the season started, and while we were all going crazy over this Bears team, and there was an article from CBSSports.com, and they were ranking teams within their division position by position, and the Bears were third or fourth at every position. Except for, I want to say, now this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, so I could be slightly off on this, but they were third or fourth at every position except for wide receiver and cornerback. And I told Bears fans that, and a lot of them were like, oh, I don't, that can't be right, because we were drinking the Kool-Aid. We were sipping the Kool-Aid a little bit as far as some of the moves that Ryan Poles made in the offseason and the roster that he's built, but looking back on it now, and they included coaching in that and had the Bears dead last in the division in terms of ranking the coaches. Looking back on it now, they were spot on in those rankings.
They weren't on receivers because the Bears receivers aren't even close to the
Vikings.
Well,
I think you can justify that based on what DJ Moore did in Carolina. Keenan Allen is a Hall of Famer.
Moore, he's a decent receiver, but I don't remember. Listen, it's not to say I'm in like five fantasy football leagues. I don't remember people always saying, oh my God, DJ Moore is like the greatest guy. We got to get him. You know, he's a good receiver, but there's a million good receivers. He's a dime a dozen, maybe a step above that. But, I mean, if you go through all the wide receivers in the NFL, I mean, look at the Giants even. I mean, is he that much better than Wendell Robinson? I mean, they got their number one receiver. It's 10 times better than Moore. So I'm just saying he's a good receiver, but all these guys are talented. All these running backs are talented, but the Bears are just average. They're nothing great, and their division is much better. And, you know, honestly, I think with the Bears under their offense, they should bring in the West Coast offense. I think that would be the best thing. Maybe as a zone blocking scheme could help hide that offensive line and maybe be a little more talented. And I think that would be the best thing for them. That's my opinion. But seriously, when you look at all – I mean, even I was looking at, like, the Carolina Panthers, their running backs, they got – what's his name, Hubbard, Chuba Hubbard. He's been running great, and they got a rookie first-round pick that's come in. So where would DeAndre Swift be on that team? He'd be a second, maybe third stringer even on that team. So I just don't understand where people are thinking, oh, my God, their offensive talent is so great. It's just average because every team has talent.
Alan, I appreciate the call. I think some of it is just that there were upgrades. You know what I mean? It was better than what we've had here previously. And secondly, it was some hype that some of us got carried away with. I can't even lie about that. But we're so starved, dude, especially for offense. We're so starved for, like, stars and a high-powered offense. You know what I mean? And I don't think you were misguided in getting excited about a wide receiver core of DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze. DJ Moore is a legit number. You're right. He's not Justin Jefferson, okay? I'm not putting him in that tier or caliber
top 15
of wide
receiver.
Receivers. He's a legit number one wide receiver in this league. That's the label I'll put on it.
Agree.
Keenan Allen is a Hall of Famer. I think he's first or second among active receivers in receptions. Rome Odunze is a top 10 pick in the NFL draft and worthy of that for good reason. Cole Kmet is a guy who has all the tools that you could ask for in a tight end and has flashed a lot of potential even while things weren't good around here. Like, I don't think you were misguided or dumb or naive or blinded by the light to be excited about this group of skill position players that the Bears have. I will say, and this isn't second guessing, this was me in the offseason saying this, I wanted Saquon Barkley, I wanted Josh Jacobs, and I wanted Aaron Jones before I wanted DeAndre Swift. I'll admit, I thought maybe there was a little too much wear on the tires for Derrick Henry. I didn't want him sniffing around that, and I was wrong about that. But those other three guys that switched teams this year and look like all pros, the Bears had the money to go and get those guys instead of DeAndre Swift. They chose to go and get DeAndre Swift. They bowed out, and we found this out in the New York Giants Hard Knocks offseason series. They bowed out of the Saquon Barkley bidding. They were in it, and they bowed out of it to the Giants and to the Eagles, who eventually ended up winning that bidding war. Why? What stopped you from going and getting an absolute game changer and difference maker in Saquon Barkley? And I know how people have felt about giving running backs big money for the longest time in this league, and I tend to agree with that. But when you're talking about Saquon Barkley, dude, that's a different story. That's a guy that defenses have to plan around. That's a guy that even when a play breaks down, he can make something happen and take it to the house. And how much of a luxury would it be for Caleb Williams in his rookie year to stand in the backfield and have people not game planning for him, but game planning for the guy who's standing behind him? Like, how much does that take off that dude's plate in terms of what he's up against in his first year in the NFL? But you settled on DeAndre Swift because Saquon Barkley was just too rich for your blood.
Just my opinion, but Saquon Barkley is the MVP of the NFL.
Yes. Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. I'm 100% in agreement with you. Let me get in one more call before the break. Dave from Lakeview, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
Good, man.
Yeah, I want to speak on what you spoke about the culture.
Okay.
And you mentioned early in your show about Green Bay and the difference between Green Bay and the Bears.
Dave, just real quick, for those who weren't listening, I said I have a friend, a former coworker from my time in Milwaukee. He played for the Packers. His son works for the Bears, and he told me the main difference is in Green Bay, it's football first, and in Chicago, they're going to tell you not to stay around too late and to go home and kiss your kids and tuck them into bed at night. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. We all want to be treated a certain way in our workplace, but I'm saying that might lead to maybe them being a little better at football than what the Bears are. But go ahead, Dave. I just wanted to give people the context of what I was saying.
Yeah, I totally agree. If you look at the NFC North, the Detroit Lions, the owner, the owner, I forgot her first name, but her father passed. Mm-hmm. So she's the owner now. And from looking at the Detroit Lions the last 3 years, I'm thinking that I'm just going to use one example, Robert Kraft from the New England Patriots. I'm quite sure that he called her to congratulate her on being a new owner, but he probably put a bug in her ear, too, to let her know what you need to do to turn your franchise around. Robert Kraft is a cheese man. He owns Kraft. Mm-hmm. He don't know nothing about football. But what I like about him and is that he hired professional people to come up in there. And what's happening in Detroit is a prime example.
Yep.
But, you know, but thanks for taking my call, man.
I appreciate you making the call, Dave. It's Sheila Ford Hamp, who is the owner of the Detroit Lions right now. Dave just taught me something. Is this right? I'm going to fact check this during the break. Robert Kraft is of that Kraft family, the cheese people? Is that right?
This would be the first time that I'm hearing that connection as well.
I mean, I didn't know where he got his money. That would make sense. I didn't know he was the cheese guy. That's a lot of money. You know how much Kraft cheese is sold in this country on a day-to-day basis? We're going to fact check that during the break. I thought he had Gillette. I thought Gillette was where he made his money, the razor people. None of this matters to the Chicago Bears. That blew my mind a little bit when Dave said that.
I just Googled it quickly, yeah. and it says right now that he has no ties to the Kraft food company.
Okay. So was his family? Did he inherit it and then sell it? Is that where he got the money? We're going to figure this out during the break.
Well, as of right now, it does not. I'm sorry, Dave, but it does not look like there is a tie between Robert Kraft and Kraft Foods.
I always thought Gillette was his company.
Yeah, that would check out because they've sponsored that stadium for how many years?
I could be wrong about that too, though. 312-644-6767. You want to talk razors, cheese, bears, whatever. Just whatever you got on your mind. 312-644-6767. You're the star of this overnight show. We will hear from Caleb Williams. Still need to hear from the guys from the post-game show yesterday. Mully and Olin Kreutz and oh geez, I'm drawing a complete blank right now. Oh no, Pat Manley. Jeez, it is 2:30 in the morning. I love Pat Manley. It's just, you know,
you need some caffeine there, Rami.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I really, really do. And I'm gonna go get some during the break.
I'm gonna get some too.
We'll hear from Caleb Williams, and we'll hear from you at 312-644-6767 right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
To Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Thank you, big voice guy. That is me. That is the show. That's who I'm brought to you by. We've got Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass. And you, the star of this show at 312-644-6767. Text line is so full. I got to get through some of those here, and we'll get to your calls in just 1 second. But before the break, caller mistakenly, I think, said Robert Kraft was the head of the cheese empire, the Kraft cheese empire, and I was shocked by that. I did not know that. Tyler quickly sussed out that was not the case, and I said I thought Gillette was his thing. That's where he made his money and maybe sold it. And that's how he really made his money. Tyler got to the bottom of it during the break. How did Robert Kraft get his money, Tyler?
So he is worth most of his money by paper and packaging. Kraft made his initial fortune in paper and packaging, selling newspapers as a child and later taking control of the Rand Whitney Group. And he also founded International Forest Products.
That's so wild to me.
Paper and packaging.
That's so crazy to me. There was a time in this country you could go from being the paper boy to building like an empire on paper and packing products. He climbed his way from paperboy to paper and packing product czar. Like, that's amazing, dude. That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen in America anymore. You don't go from being the paper boy to being the guy who owns the paper. That's insane. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Paul, who's in Spring Valley. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Romy. Great show.
Thank you.
First of all, I just want to say I share in your frustration with the Bears, because these are pretty embarrassing losses to sit through.
They are.
And yes, they do need to hire the correct coach. That's true. But I think when I watch this team, I see a lot of dead weight. A lot of guys weren't any good. People had to be upgraded. Like people like Shelton, Pryor, Everett, Sanborn, Williams, Taylor, the list goes on. Martin, mm-hmm. Lewis, Carter, you know, guys that need to pick up their game. Like Braxton Jones and Jenkins and Pickens. You know, that's what I see. As far as the individual needs go, I think they could use like another pass rusher to go with Sweat. You know, like I like Dexter, I like Gravon Dexter, but they can use an under tackle to help him out. And like not, you know, like Sanborn, I mean, he's a nice player, but they need to upgrade him.
Yeah, Sanborn, you know? Sanborn is depth. Sanborn should not be playing right. As big a role on this team as he is.
Yeah, and then you figure it. And they, I think they need at least one guard, a center, and maybe even a tackle.
Yeah.
And you know what the good news is? They have two seconds and probably a high first, so they can address some of those needs. You know,
You're right, Paul. I appreciate the call. There's he listed off a lot of players there, and that's because there's not one player who's free or void of criticism after what we witnessed yesterday. Not one. Not one single guy. And yeah, you could make an argument at almost every position but quarterback that the Bears need an upgrade and need to be better. And there's no way we would have been saying that when the season started. But yeah, the running backs, starting with DeAndre Swift, have not been good enough. For all the hype, the wide receivers, starting with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, not good enough. Cole Kmet, not good enough. That whole offensive line. Now, Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright at points in this season have looked solid, have looked pretty good as your tackles. I do like Tevin Jenkins. I just can't trust that he'll be in there in any given week with his injury history since coming into the league. But yeah, the entire offensive line at times and a lot and often throughout the season, not good enough. The defensive line and the pass rush, not good enough. Linebackers might be the one place where we go, oh, those guys are pretty much doing their job.
They clean up a lot
maybe,
of messes.
Maybe. That secondary was supposed to be better. And I know Jaquan Brisker has been out a long time with that concussion, and that's a big hit. But Tyrique Stevenson, supposed to be better than this. Jalen Johnson, who I defended earlier in the show, but still not good enough. Like, there is nobody who escapes the criticism and their share of the blame in what we've seen this season, and especially what we saw yesterday after you fired your head coach, and that didn't do a damn thing to light a fire under anyone on that football team. Not even a little bit. No coach fired bump whatsoever for this football team. And that's a terrible sign, man, as far as where these guys' heads and hearts are at as football players. That there was no motivation after you fired the head coach, and you had 10 days to let that stew and simmer in your heads and in that locker room, that's a really, really bad sign for your culture.
With over you going over the position groups here and some of these guys, with over $80 million in cap space, are you paying Tevin Jenkins in a contract
no,
here?
No, I don't think I am.
You let him walk?
I need a whole new interior of my offensive line. Which is a lot to ask in one offseason, even with all the assets that they have, because not only do you have to go and get those guys and get the right guys, but then it's the chemistry and the gelling that we all hear about with offensive line, because they have to operate as one, and it's this intricate dance of not just knowing your steps, but knowing the steps of the guy next to you so that there are no gaps in the protection and the blocking scheme.
How about... Is Braxton Jones your left tackle next year?
Probably, but I'm not locked into that. Maybe I bump him down to guard. Like, for me, offensive line, and I'm simplifying it a bit, but offensive line is offensive line. You're blocking guys. You're stopping large men from getting into your quarterback. And for me, it's just getting the five best guys out there at doing that. You know what I mean? So if you have a chance to go get a stud left tackle and bump Braxton Jones down inside to a guard position, or at least see if he can do that, I'm open to that. There's nothing about that offensive line that I'm not open to right now. When a guy has been sacked 57 times, yeah, all options are on the table.
That's like I mentioned earlier, when you're being compared to David Carr, that's not a good sign.
Text from the 262. I would like to see 20,000 fans boycott the next Bear game, and the ones that do go to the game wear bags over your head. The fans are part of the problem with the Bears losing because they keep supporting a losing team. I disagree with that. I'm sorry. Like, we're fans.
They don't hear us enough.
Yeah, we're fans, and we're going to fan. You know what I mean? There is something to be said about voicing your displeasure. I'm giving you a platform to do that right here on 670 The Score from 12 a.m. to 5 a.m., kicking off of Plumbers 911 Football Monday, where you'll have a chance to do that all day until 6 p.m. when Spiegel and Holmes wrap things up. But there is something to be said about voicing your displeasure, but blaming fans for supporting their team, that's what we're supposed to do. I'm not going to stop being a Bears fan. I might be a little less interested, maybe a little more focused on my fantasy team down the stretch here that clinched a playoff spot in a win or go home type of situation. I'm pretty happy about that. You know what I mean? So like, but just checking out, just I'm not a Bears fan anymore, or whatever, however you want to display that or express that to me, it's not being a fan. And I'm not criticizing fan how you want a fan, but for me, I'm going to keep supporting my team while voicing displeasure. I mean, I sit here today with a Bears hat and Bears t-shirt on, but I'm also coming on the airwaves and screaming my brains out about how embarrassing of an organization it is. Joe from Cicero, we'll hear from you before we hear from Caleb Williams. What's on your mind, Joe?
I am so heartbroken with all the hype for this season. I am more heartbroken now than when in 1986 in the playoffs, the Bears lost to the Washington Redskins. this, with all the hype, it just wipes away all the Trestman years, all the garbage that we saw in the past. With all the hype, I'm like crying because I've been watching the Bears for 50 years. Please, please, can they get it right?
I appreciate the call, Joe. And you're, man, you're right. It's been a long fall from where we were in terms of our hopes and expectations to where we are today. And to an extent, we did this to ourselves. You know what I mean? I pushed back on the caller who said earlier that we shouldn't have had our hopes and our expectations so high. I pushed back on the fan who just said we should boycott this football team. We do this to ourselves to an extent because we get so caught up in the now and exciting things that are happening that we forget who we're dealing with here. And we forget that we should have a little bit of doubt cast on everything that this organization does before we even see how it plays out because of everything that they've done to us to this point. You know what I mean? We should cap our hopes and expectations until we get something better. Let's be surprised in a good way for once, rather than being disappointed and being surprised in a bad way. Let's go into next year like, I don't know, this is a 6-7 win team, and then they come out and they win 10. You know what I mean? And we're all like, hooray! And that's a much better experience than thinking they're a 10 win team and then sitting here through a 7-game and counting losing streak. Like that, I'm gonna try to do that next year. I'm legitimately gonna try to do that next year to not hurt myself with expectations and hopes for this Bears team. And then if they perform well, awesome. It's a cool little surprise for me. 312-644-6767. We will continue to take your calls, your texts throughout the show until 5 a.m. We'll also hear from the guys on the post-game show, Kreutz, Manley, Haw. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But I want to hear from Caleb Williams, who, like I said, probably his worst performance since New England in a 38-13 loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Here's the Bears quarterback afterwards.
First half struggles have been a consistent issue all year. How do you wrap your brain around the slow starts?
Yeah, exactly what TB said. If we had the answer, we would have solved it by now as players, as coaches. It's not something that you want to do because that puts you behind in games. And then when you're behind in games, which we've been in a couple of these past games that we've been playing, you got to come back, and it's a taller task. You know, we have to do it, you know, if it happens, but it's a taller task, and you don't want to deal with that every game. If you can get out and jump on people and these teams and impose your will, that's obviously what you want to do early in games, and we haven't been doing that.
We've talked about the value of you getting reps this season. When you're chasing points the way you've had to chase in the last 2 weeks, are those reps a little less valuable because it's not kind of the ideal situation of run pass mix and you're probably throwing a lot more than you would ordinarily?
I wouldn't say that it's hindering anything or anything like that for me personally. I think they drop back in these coverages. They're mixing up coverages and things like that because obviously, when you get down, now they're trying to make sure that you don't start coming back and scoring points. And it's something that we've done recently pretty well is, when we get down and we come out of halftime and things like that, scoring points, getting after it. I wouldn't put it in that context of it being negative.
Real quick before I lose my mic, was the communication with you and TB the same today as it had been, or in what ways was it different because he was the head coach?
Yeah, I'd say it's the same. I think we had, him being on the field, obviously you're right there, being able to talk to each other and things like that, face to face. I'd say that was the biggest difference. And then from there, it's just, when you have these promotions, when you have these, these situations that we've had happen with coaches being fired and things like that and promotions, people earn or are promoted to new jobs. And there's new things that they have to deal with and And like I always talk about in all the, you know, interviews that I do is, all the small things matter. And so, you know, when you have to add more to, you know, what you're already doing, and it's something new, and it's live bullets flying, there's going to be, you know, every once in a while it's going to, you know, things are going to happen. Communication is going to, you know, be different than what it was in the, you know, in the previous position that you were in, just because you have a lot more on your plate. But I think today was, you know, I think we did well today, you know, with the situation that, you know, that has occurred. We got to keep going, keep fighting, and stand tall.
Caleb, Thomas told us earlier in the week that his message to you guys was about how football rewards teams that play violently.
Yeah.
Just knowing that you guys got outgained by 315 yards in the first half, how do you rectify, whether that's effort, whether that's just being outplayed, how do you rectify that, knowing what Thomas had kind of encouraged you guys to do today?
Yeah, we got, excuse me, we got, I don't know if Thomas said like this, but we got our ass kicked today. There's no way around it. You can, like you said, they had, I think at one point we were, they had two, going to half, they had 240-something, I believe. And we had four total yards. So that's, I mean, that's a, regardless of how we feel, regardless of, you know, all of that, we got it handed to us. You know, as offense, defense, special teams, myself, we got to come out and be better. It's just, you know, totally what it is. We got to be more violent. We got to be, you know, have our screws screwed, and we got to be on point. And that's not what happened today. You know, we started to get something going, and then, you know, I end up fumbling the ball, I guess. I end up fumbling the ball. You know, our momentum and things like that from there started going down, and they go score again and off of that. And you have points off of turnovers and you're already down. It's tough. It's tough at the end of the game.
And just to touch on what you were talking about earlier with the slow starts, knowing that that's been a problem all season long, and sometimes when there is a coach change midseason, that can maybe give you guys a bump for a little bit, or it could put a Band-Aid over a bigger issue. Does seeing the same problems today that have existed for the previous 13 weeks show you that there might be some other things this team needs to fix that are deeper than just one thing?
I could or could not. I don't have the answer for it being something bigger or just the Band-Aid aspect of it. I think as players, coaches, I think we just overall need to do better. I can definitely speak on myself. You know, when we get out there, you know, that first half, we got to go and score points, find a way to score points, some way, somehow, regardless of how it happens, regardless of, you know, the situation, you know, we got to go out there and score points.
Caleb, what was happening on third down? There's a sequence where there was four straight sacks on third downs. What do you think was happening there?
Yeah, the most important thing is first and second down efficiency. I'm not taking sacks on first and second down. When you get the third down, now it's time to, because, you know, if you incomplete, if there's, you know, we're short of the line or anything like that on third down, if we run the ball, if I, you know, take off, we throw, whatever case may be, you know, taking a sack, you know, it goes into that category. It obviously matters because now you're going off the field. But, you know, incomplete, you're going off the field. You know, we run the ball in those situations and we don't get it. You know, you go off the field, you take a sack, you go off the field. So in those situations, first and second down, you don't want to take sacks. Third down is now the time to make the play. And we didn't do that today.
Caleb, what happened on the fumble?
Yeah. We called a play, and timing wise we were just, you know, myself, you know, just a little off, I was throwing the ball, and timing was a little off. I held the ball, and my hand was still coming forward, and it was ruled a fumble. So yeah.
Caleb, how hard is it for the leadership group, the captains, to continue to kind of galvanize guys when you're losing? I mean, it just to go through the streak, I know we talk about the culture and the veterans and everybody in that locker room, but is it difficult to keep pushing and keep getting guys up for week after week until you get that win?
My job is to lead. The captain's job is to lead from the front, even when it's tough. My job is not to get you up to come into the facility to do your job, to come in and have after hours treatment, all these different things, you know. My job is to, and our job is to go out there and lead the guys, and lead the guys the right way. You know, it's an internal thing, you know, to get up and, you know, do the job over and over. You know, and as leaders, we do obviously have to encourage and keep encouraging. We have to stand tall, and have that courage. That's the most important thing for yourself. Have courage. And from there you can encourage other guys. And so, as leaders, we have to obviously keep getting up and fighting and leading these guys. You know, that's an internal thing. Getting up and, you know, keep going, keep fighting, keep throwing punches. You know, we have to keep coming together. We have to keep finding ways to have productive drives, defense stopping people, special teams on the field, you know, putting it through the goalposts, or, you know, whatever the case may be. We got to find ways to have successful, you know, downs, special teams, defense, offense.
Caleb, very small silver lining today, but you did hit Rome for two touchdowns. Yep. What did you see on each of those connections?
Yeah. The first one, the defenders on the motion got confused, and they weren't decisive enough, and Rome ran a great route, didn't get collision, just gave him an opportunity to ball in the back pylon, something we practice all the time. And he went up and made a great play, getting both feet down. You know, and the second one, you know, knowing the type of player that 54 is on their side of the ball, you know, they end up being in a two shell, two high shell, playing cover four behind it, I believe. You know, with the back going this way, you know, starting off with three receivers, you know, to that side of the field on the right side, and back going across my face. You know, Rome ran a great route. You know, froze Fred. Fred had his eyes on me in the back, and Rome ran a great route, made a great catch, it was second touchdown.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. The Bears.
There's Caleb Williams after the embarrassing 38-13 loss to the 49ers in San Francisco. That guy he's really resilient, man. You know what I mean? First of all, I love guys. There are coaches like this. There are quarterbacks like this who just have that total recall. Like, you ask them about anything that happened in the game, and they'll tell you, like, this guy was going that way, that guy was going this way. They will tell you everything that was that unfolded on the field in front of them, and that's always impressive to me. And I don't think everybody has that. Like, Mitch, when you ask Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields about the way that a play went down, the answers sounded very different than hearing Caleb Williams do it. But just the resilience that dude has, man. He sounds the same after a win as he does after a loss, as he does after a loss that he personally performed very well in. Like, he's the same dude. And I do think he's organizationally resistant in terms of the toxicity and the dysfunction that the Chicago Bears are, but I don't think he's organization proof. I don't think he's franchise proof. And if they don't fix the things that have broken every quarterback that's played for them in my entire life, it might take a little longer. It might be a little bit harder to do it, but they will break Caleb Williams. They will. He doesn't know it. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't think that's possible, because he's been so successful at every level that he's ever played at. But I'm telling you, he will be broken. He will be broken if they don't fix these organizationally dysfunctional things that have broken every other quarterback. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm probably not. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. What did Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and Mully think about that loss yesterday? We'll hear from those guys on the postgame show right after this. It's Score Overnight on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.